We are going to be continuing on in our sermon series about choices, about fighting for those things that make a difference in our life. And today we're actually going to be in two passages. So I want you to go ahead and turn to Ephesians 5. We've already looked at it, but that's where we're going to start off this morning. Put a finger at Luke 16 as well, because we're going to go there a little bit later. But while you're turning there, I do want to say one more thing about our run class tonight that's kicking off. So, we want to make sure that this is perfectly clear to everybody. Maybe you go, I have never run in my life, but I'd like to. You know what you need to do? Show up here at 6 o'clock tonight. Because we have a 9-week plan. The goal is that in 9 weeks, on actually December the 9th, which is a Saturday evening, over in Comanche, there's a 5K race. 5 kilometers is 3.1 miles. And the goal is between tonight and Saturday night, which is 9 weeks from yesterday, that over those 9 weeks, you progress along, you get a little bit stronger, your breathing gets better, everything over these 9 weeks and at the end of that, you're able to run 3.1 miles or able to walk 3.1 miles. Some of you, if you're like me, the thought of walking 3.1 miles, you go, that's just crazy. I don't want to do that. But if that is you, we're going to have a beginner plan. And let me tell you, it starts easy, right? 30 seconds at a time. You just have to move faster for 30 seconds, and then you get to walk again. And if you can do that 8 different times, a total of 4 minutes, that will be your workout actually this week. So it starts off easy. We want you to understand it's going to progress and get more difficult, but that won't happen for weeks, right? 30 seconds at a time is where it'll kick off tonight. So if you've never even run, you've never been a walker and you're willing to kind of try this, then come out tonight and at 6 o'clock and we'll kind of go from that. We'll have the plan for you if you're a beginner and you want to be able to dedicate 9 weeks to do this to, then show up at 6 o'clock. So, but in the meantime, we're gonna start off with some memes of the week. Are you ready for memes of the week? So, here's a meme for you. This is actually a confession here. The Sunday school teacher says, "Sorry guys, I forgot to bring snacks today." And then a quote from First Hezekiah 4 that says, "And now when it came to pass that when I had spoken these words, they were angry with me and were desirous to throw me into the depths of the sea." Right? For the life of me, you know, some of you I know are sitting out there going, First Hezekiah, that's not a real book of the Bible, y'all. That's made up. So there you go. So for those of you that weren't questioning that, there you go. I'm just saying, you know, this next one's not really so much a funny meme, but it is so true. I just needed to show this. This is God grace in my life, a visual illustration of those. So there we go. We were singing about that grace that falls like rain, that grace that overflows. We sang those words this morning. There is what that looks like in person. So, but today we're going to be talking about something a little bit different, something I don't talk about a lot. And let me tell you why I wanted to talk about this. Did anybody else just, our Congress and our politicians were arguing about the way we spend money, and they were arguing about if we're going to fund the government and all this other kind of stuff, and you just kind of roll your eyes and go, it's that time of year. They do this every couple of years, right? It's one of those things. I want to share with you a quote that it was a guy named Calvin Whitman, and he's a pastor, he's a writer, he's written stuff for our Open Windows devotional that we sometimes pass out. He's written things for some of our Life Connection Bible studies, and he said this in a sermon, and man, this is just rough for me. Are you ready for this? He said, some of you are going, no, not after saying that. No, I'm not ready for that. But here's what he said. I love what he says. He says, "One of the complaints I hear most often is that the government, at nearly every level, seems to have forgotten that they don't have any money. The money they seem to so freely spend actually belongs to us, the people. And yet many have told me that, in their opinion, the government seems to have forgotten whose money it is. Instead of spending it in consonance with the wishes of the people, it's being spent as though the government had some right to it. Irrespective of where you stand on the political scale, to the left or to the right, no doubt you have had issues with how the government spends your money." Anyone want to go, that's been me before, right? You just want to go, yeah. Now here's where the ouch part comes. Are you ready for the ouch part? Of course, as Christians, oh, it's already hurting, y'all. Of course, as Christians, we need to be careful about making these kinds of accusations against our government, lest we expose a level of hypocrisy hereto unrecognized by many. For you see, before we complain about the government squandering resources, which in truth belongs to someone else, we need to acknowledge that we are guilty of the same thing. Only that which we are spending as if it were our own belongs to God. Most Christians spend time and money as if it were actually theirs, all the while forgetting that in fact they have given their lives to God. Everything within that life belongs to God and is to be used for His purposes and in accordance with His direction. And while those who are elected may have to answer to their constituents on election day, those of us who have been chosen by God's will answer Him on judgment day. Oh, why, I told you that hurt. Anyone else feel like that hurts? Right? Some of you are going, I'm not even going to make eye contact. He's going to call me out. He's going to say something, right? The reason I bring this up is we are in the middle of our fall invest. Our fall invest that goes on for the next few weeks. Now, I want you to understand, we have, our fiscal year here at Southside runs September through August. About a month ago, our numbers came in on the end of the year, and y'all, it was not very pretty at all. You know, we operated in the red last year. Our numbers have come in this week for what we did in September, and we're on track to operate in the red again. We're already in the red by $1,200 in 1 month, right? So you could see that things are not necessarily a pretty picture, but I want you to understand, I am not preaching this sermon because of our financial thing. I am preaching this sermon because we are in the middle of our fall invest. You know why we call it invest? Because we want to invest our lives in missions. We want to invest ourselves in missions, our resources in missions. So 2 years ago here at Southside, we took on a partnership with the church plant in Wisconsin. And our association, the Heart of Texas Baptist Network, has a partnership with the Southern Wisconsin Baptist Association. And that partnership is three things. And I love these three things that the network did. People, provisions, and prayer. That's what investment is all about. People, provisions, and prayer. The reason we do these invest offerings is we recognize that, man, we need to be praying for missions. We recognize that we need to be providing financial resources for missions. We also recognize that there's a people involvement. There's us getting our hands dirty. There's us being involved in these things. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's an incredible thing. Our fall invest is all focused on Texas missions. The biggest beneficiary is the Mary Hill Davis offering, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later here this morning. And that's a Southern Baptist offering being taken up here in Texas. But as we get into all this, I think that the two things when we talk about stewardship, when we talk about the way we live our lives, you know, the two biggest things that I think most of us struggle with, if we're truly honest, is it's simply this: time and money. Those are the things that our pastor that we shared the quote, what he talked about. Those are some of the things you even saw in that video, our time and our money. And we're going to look at two different passages today as we talk about these things. But as we kind of get into this, I want you to see what Ephesians 5, we're going to go back to this passage. Actually, Mr. Blair, do you mind going back to our three questions? Because I want you to see this passage. This is what we're going to be looking at here. Let's look at this passage. Everything exposed by the light is made visible. What makes everything visible is light, right? It makes sense. You go into a dark room and you want to see, what do? Flip on the light, right? Or you pull out your phone and you go, okay, let me see, you know? Those of you that have fancy smartwatches, you use your watch to see around in the middle of the night, to fumble your way to the bathroom, right? You do all those things. Because light is how you see. Therefore, verse 14 says, therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. But then notice what 15 and 16 say. Pay careful attention then to how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. And I love that terminology. Pay careful attention then to how you walk. You know what he's saying? Pay careful attention to the things that you do. Pay careful attention to how you spend your time. Here's my question. We're going to talk about this first here today. Why does how I spend my time matter? Thank you, Kelsa, for going to this. You can go back to the normal thing here. But why does how I spend my time, why does that really matter? And I love this picture because Paul's almost saying, look, don't walk in your sleep. Wake up. Open your eyes. See what's going on. Anybody else have those times where you wake up at like 3 a.m. and you need to go to the bathroom, but you're afraid of waking yourself up too much, so you kind of keep your eyes closed and fumble around and try and find your way? Some of you are laughing. You go, I do that all the time, right? You're walking because you're afraid if you open up your eyes, it's going to wake you up. It's almost that picture that Paul's saying here. He's going, look, you need to wake up. Don't walk in your sleep. Open your eyes and make the most of every day. But why does how I spend my time matter? The first reason why is because it's a mark of wisdom. That's what verse 15 says. It says only someone who's unwise is just going to kind of just drift along with like the wind and the waves wherever they take him. A wise man is going to map out his course. He's going to set his sails. He's going to guide the rudder until he goes where he needs to go. It is a mark of wisdom to spend your time well. And those aren't my words. That's actually what Ephesians 5 says. Pay careful attention to how you walk. Pay careful attention to the things you do. Don't do it like the unwise do, but do it like wise people do. You know, it's true. James 4 talks about how we can't know what a day is going to bring. And that's very true. I can tell you right now, none of us here knows what this afternoon is going to bring. We think we know. We might end up to be right, but we actually might even end up to be wrong too. And it's true that while we don't know what today has in store for us, it's also true that if you plan your life, if you have a plan, it helps you deal better with unexpected things when they come up. And I love this picture because Paul's going, look, pay careful attention to how you walk. Walk like a wise person. How in the world do you walk like a wise person? How in the world do you get wisdom? I want to share with you three quick passages that I think deal with this a lot. The first one is in Proverbs 13:20, and Solomon wrote this, and he says, the one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, I want to ask you this question. Look at the people you spend time with. Is that a dangerous question to ask? Are they wise people, or are they people that aren't quite as wise, right? Who do you choose to spend time with? Now here, this is just a fact that Solomon's trying to point out to us. The people that you spend time around, you begin to look like them. You begin to act like them. Some of us need to find some wiser friends. Some of us probably need to stop hanging out as long with people that aren't leading us in ways of wisdom. People that bring out the worst in us. You ever know those friendships that there's someone that you bring out the worst in them and they bring out the worst in you? That's what Solomon's warning you about. Now, that's what he says over in Proverbs 13. I love what James 1 says. James 1, 5 says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously and unbegrudgingly, and it will be given to him. If you want wisdom, if you go, look, I want to spend my time wisely, but I just don't know what that is. James 1, 5 says, ask God what that is. Another thing, one other question. Paul, you know, we looked at Solomon, we looked at James here. I love what Paul says in Colossians 3. Colossians 2, verse 3, excuse me. He says, in Christ, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you truly want wisdom, it's Jesus. And if you truly want to have the wisdom that Jesus has, then you spend time with Jesus. That's actually even what Solomon would be saying with his Proverbs 13 thing here. But it's not just, we just don't need to spend our time wisely because it's a mark of wisdom. Why does it matter how we spend our time? Not just because it's about wisdom, but because life is short. This is a pretty incredible picture that you see in verse 16. Making the most of time. Making the most of that time. It's kind of a fascinating thing there because the Greek almost has this picture of buying the time back. I mean, that's almost the Greek terminology here. I want you to catch this picture, and I don't want you to miss this. Every day is a gift from God. And I don't know about you, but I don't wake up most mornings going, okay, God, today is a gift. What am I going to do with it? I wake up most days going, God, can you just make everything go right and help me just to stay awake today? Right? Anyone else, you live your days that way? But when we recognize that life is short, when we recognize that the days are short, when we recognize this need to make the most of our time, it helps us to recognize that we need to spend our time wisely. We recognize that the way we spend our time matters. And I think it's so important to recognize, why do you need to make the most of your time? The last part of that verse says, because the days are evil. Why? Let me ask you this. If the days are evil, why should it matter how you spend your time? Because God wants you to be different. Because God wants you to recognize that it's a mark of wisdom how you spend your time. So pay careful attention to how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. This recognition that the world is not spending their time wisely and that God has called us to be different, that makes all the difference in the world. It's such it's so fascinating to me that Paul actually wrote these words somewhere around 60 AD. About 4 years later is when Nero is just gonna just unleash persecution on the church. And the church, who's already been persecuted in so many ways, is about to see it in a way that they haven't even up to this point. It's going to happen in just a few short years when Paul writes this. And look at what he's already saying. Back in 4 years before that, he goes, man, these days are evil. What's it going to look like in 4 years when Nero is throwing Christians to the lions? When he's using Christians as a patsy for some of his own actions and things that he had done. And here's what I love about this picture. God is saying, hey, I want you to spend your time wisely because the days are evil, and I want you to be different, and I want people to see the things that you do. I want them to see the difference that I have made in you. If I could just kind of do a little personal note here, you know, I've been at this church for over 8 years now, and I started in ministry back in 1994. It's the first time I ever had a church staff position, a paid staff position, summer of 94. During that time, I've been involved in 5 different churches over the past 29 years. And y'all, the last 8 years have been incredible and amazing because you recognize how God uses you. Because you recognize that God has called you to be different. Because you recognize that God has called you to be light and salt in this world. And you take this seriously. And I am so honored to be a part of this. Because God uses you to touch lives every single day. And God has called you to be different. And he has called you to be this example of what it looks like to be a Christian in the world. And as funny as it sounds, sometimes the way we spend our time speaks volumes to the people around us. Imagine the way you spend your time, what it says to your kids and your grandkids. Imagine what the way you spend your time says to your neighbors, your coworkers, right? Imagine what being here, even on a Sunday morning, what that speaks to the people that drive by and they see your car in the parking lot. Y'all, I want you to understand, God uses you in a big way, so much bigger than you even understand. And I love the fact that you recognize that he has called you to be different because the days are evil and he needs ambassadors. He needs people standing in the gap for others. And you are that. And I am so grateful for that. And I love this picture, though, because it's not just the way we spend our time, but it's the way we spend our money. So did you put your finger and have you turned to Luke 16? If you haven't, I want you to go ahead and turn to Luke 16, but I want to set the stage. We're going to look at verses 10 through 13 in just a moment. But before we get there, I want to tell you, because this is in the middle after a parable here. Jesus is speaking these words after he's told the parable of what he's called the unrighteous servant, right? The unjust steward, the way some of your translations are going to translate that. In this parable, you have this unjust steward, and he's caught squandering his master's money. And he has been called to give an account to how he's used all that money. And realizing that he's been caught, he begins to use the master's money to make friends for himself. Right? So that when he no longer has a job, when he no longer has money, he still has his friends. And while this is clearly unjust, because he's misusing the master's money, Jesus is pointing out that the fact that he's acting pretty, Jesus uses the word shrewd, right? This is how Jesus says it in verse 10. He says, the master praised the unrighteous manager. No, keep in mind, this is part of the parable. This isn't Jesus praising him, but he says that the master in this parable praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd than the children of light in dealing with their own people. Now, this is the context that we've seen here in Luke chapter 16. Then I want you to see where Jesus goes in verses 9 through 13. So let's read this. Here's what Jesus said after that. He said, whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. So if you have not been faithful with worldly wealth, notice where he turned that to. If you have not been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you for with what is genuine? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, well, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, here's the thing. And I love this picture that Jesus in verse 8 has talked about how the master recognizes the shrewdness of his servant who's just wasted away his money. Can you be shrewd? Can you be wise and still be unfaithful? You can. And that's what Jesus is pointing out here. That was the problem with this dishonest manager, this dishonest person, the steward in this parable. He's shrewd, he's crafty, he's wisdom, but he's not faithful and he's not true and he doesn't handle the master's business correctly. And the emphasis here is all about faithfulness. And I love this picture because Jesus is saying if we can't be trusted with something as temporal and fleeting as money, then he's not going to trust us with the truly valuable things, spiritual things. That's very much what he's saying. If we haven't been proven faithful with little, we'll never be entrusted with much. If we're not faithful with what belongs to someone else, well, then who will give us something of our own? Jesus is saying we can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. And this little statement right here is sandwiched between, these four verses are sandwiched between two parables, not only the one we just talked about, but also by Lazarus and the rich man. And both of these parables talk about how wise or foolish we really are here on earth with how we use our money and how that speaks even into eternity. Both of these parables are dealing directly with money. And actually, I find it fascinating because we didn't read verse 14, but we stopped at 13. But verse 14 shows that the Pharisees were listening to this and they're scoffing at him, and it becomes pretty clear they love their money. So here's the question, right? Why does it matter how I spend my money? That's the next question for you. We talked about time, so why does it matter how I spend my money? Why does that matter? And the first thing that you actually see here that Jesus talks about is that it's a mark of character. You see the difference between the faithful manager and the unrighteous manager by considering what they do with what Jesus calls as very little, quote, very little. You know, first of all, imagine you gave your entire checkbook over to somebody to manage. Would you consider that very little? I love y'all, but I don't want you to do that. I don't want to hand my checkbook over to you and go, here you go, you can manage all my funds, you can tell me how I can spend my money. Frankly, I wouldn't see that as very little. But Jesus does. That's what he describes this as. He's describing it as very little. Why? Because it's about character. This isn't just a matter of ability, it's a matter of character. Right? That's why the terms faithful and unrighteous are used. When you look at verse 10, Jesus doesn't say unskilled and little. He says unrighteous and little. It's about character. I can't get past this fact. The way we spend our money shows our character. It truly is a mark of our character. But it's more than just that. Why does how I spend my money matter? Well, because money is a tool. You know, here's the picture, right? God never intends for money to be the end-all, be-all, to be the thing that you're focused on. Money is meant to be a tool, right? It's meant to accomplish something else. It's kind of like a rope that's thrown to save someone that's drowning, right? What is it that really matters? Is it the rope or is it the person that's drowning? Y'all awake out there, right? It's the person that's drowning, right? The rope is just the tool, and that's very much what Jesus is saying here. It's the same thing with money. Money has value, but only to the degree that it's used properly. And this is very much what Jesus is trying to say, that we need to see money as a tool, not money as the end all, not money as the be all, not money to be the thing that drives you. It's what you can do with that money. Now, those of you that are observant, you might have walked in this morning. If you walked in from out there, there's a couple of places that we actually have a couple of things that it's a little four-page thing hanging on the wall, and it looks like this. Let me tell you what that is. We put that up there for you to be able to see. Our biggest beneficiary of the fall invest that we're doing is the Mary Hill Davis, which is the offering that Southern Baptist churches here in Texas take up. And I want you to be able to see how they're using your money. If money's a tool, I want you to know how the $1,000 that we're going to give to Mary Hill Davis and how it's actually used. And I hope that you'll take time to kind of look at some of this. There's four different pages there, and it's fascinating to see how they're going to do it. I want to highlight some of my favorites. Some of my favorite ways that your invest money is going to be used, and there are several dozen things on these four pages. They're all in categories. They're serve ministries. One of the things in the serve ministry category that I really like, there's a Mission Arlington Christmas break trip. So there's $5,000 that they're dedicating for the Mary Hill Davis offering that'll be used to offset the cost of lodging, meals, and transportation for a group of 15 students from the Baptist University of the Americas. And they've dedicated $5,000 to help them spend part of their Christmas break to go serve the least of these in Arlington. Mission Arlington's an incredible organization. I love the fact that there are going to be 15 students from the Baptist University of the Americas that are dedicated to being there, to serving. And I just love that picture. You get to the Advanced Missions Leadership. There's some neat things there. One of my favorite things, just simply because I love apologetics, there's a thing that happens three times a year here in Texas called the Unapologetic Conference. And at these conferences, they actually have different speakers, and they do different things about apologetics and different reasons why to believe it's reasonable to believe in God and why faith makes so much sense. And they're spending $10,000 for these conferences. Now, here's what that's going for. It's not going to put on the conference. It's going for scholarships for students and pastors for them to be able to be there. $10,000 for them to be able to come and be equipped at these conferences. There's a $4,500 that's actually going to be part of what they call the mission-shaped leadership training. And I love this picture. Listen to what this does. $4,500 to help local congregations engage in missional leadership through events for racial reconciliation among pastors and local congregations. $4,500 that recognizes, hey, we're having all kinds of racial issues. How can we fight that? How can we deal with all that? I know several of our Howard Payne people and others just got back from Conclave that was going on a week ago, this past week. There's going to be $6,200 for Conclave that's designed to teach preschool through college age leaderships, and they're doing it all at the same time, but they're dedicating $6,200 for ethnic leaders and to bring in people from some of the poorest parts of Texas and help them be able to be here. That's amazing. I love that. One of my favorites as well, because of our Wisconsin partnership, there's $15,000 that is going to the Minnesota and Wisconsin convention to help them have a retreat, to have lodging and meals for pastors and wives to attend a retreat, to give them an ability to get away, for give them an ability to spend time together as a state convention. Their state is actually two conventions. Two states are part of that convention. And I love this picture because you know why they do that? You know why BGCT gets involved there? Because you're involved there. Because other churches are involved in Wisconsin and they recognize that we are involved there and they go, we want to be there. What do you need? Someone said, hey, our pastors are burned out. They need some time. They said, let's do a retreat for them. $15,000 being dedicated to that this year. Isn't that great? I think it's great. Let me share a couple more. This one's a neat thing too. There's the Special Friends Retreat, an annual event that provides a worship/camp experience for families that are impacted by special needs ministries. Funds are used to provide lodging, meals, supplies for lessons and crafts. $30,000 being used to reach out to families of special needs. You want to talk about the least of these and the most forgotten? Let's invest in those families that have special needs children. Let's give them a retreat. Let's give them the ability to do all that. And $30,000 can be a tool that can be used for that. And it's a beautiful thing here. Let me share this one too. $25,000 being used to help with Christian Women Job Corps. There are 43 Christian women and men's job corps sites here in Texas. We've got one right up there on Coggin. I know some of you have been involved in that in the past. Some of you are involved with it currently. $25,000 to help Christian Women Job Corps. And then how about this, the way that they're going to spend $6,000? This is it's actually being done by a college that shall not be named up at Abilene because we don't want to boo them, you know. But that college up at Abilene, I said we don't want to boo them, Sydney. But to be fair, she is wearing a Harden Simmons color today, so I think she's really rooting for Harden Simmons without realizing it. Here's $6,000, and check this out. It's actually being done through the Department of Physical Therapy that they're giving they're giving them $6,000, but notice what it's for. Those funds are going to help reduce the cost for students to serve, serve students that are in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program, and they're going to be short-term missionaries for a child or an adult with disabilities. They are going to be a short-term missionary, and their entire thing is to go mission, to go minister to this family that needs it, this family that has disabilities, and they are just at the end of their rope. Well, we're going to send a doctoral student to go live with them for a little while. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? Let me share one more thing. $5,000 is being used for BSM International Student Ministries. So they're going to have grants anywhere from $200 to $500 for campuses that have international students. And the Baptist Student Ministries at that college can say, hey, we've got these international things. And they can have this grant from $200 to $500 to purchase Bibles and discipleship materials, things in their language that they can't even find, that they can't even afford, just so they could tell international students about Jesus. Isn't that great? Y'all, I hope that you realize that money is a tool. This is the picture that God has of money. This is the picture that Jesus has of money. It's a tool to be used in ministry, to touch lives, to share the gospel. I hope that you'll take time. There's one by this door. There's one over by the stairwell over there. Look through these lists. These are just some of the things that I like. There are going to be other things that you like. There's a whole lot of things. There are dozens of things there. But we want you to realize that our invest money is all about reaching people. It's all about letting them know the gospel. It's about letting them know that there's a God who loves them so much. But why does how I spend my money matter? It's a mark of character. Money's a tool that God wants to use to impact this world, but it's also this. I think it's so important that we recognize this, that it's a thermometer. The truth is, how we spend our money reveals the truth about our spiritual lives. It's a thermometer. And I want to just say this. The way you spend your money, when you spend every single dollar, it should be an act of worship. Remember when Paul said, so whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Does that mean I can, you know, go get my $5 pumpkin latte at Starbucks and that can be an act of worship? Absolutely. You know who needs Jesus? People at Starbucks, right? Make a point to be there. Make a point to get to know those people. Spend your $5 well. Get to know your mail carrier. Know their names. If there's some place that you go to get breakfast burritos, begin to meet the people that are there. Know them by name. Ask how you can pray for them. Be involved. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, use it all for the glory of God. And sometimes how we spend our money is a thermometer on who we are, right? It's a mark of character. It's a tool that God can use, but it can also be a thermometer about what really matters to us. I wish we could talk more time about all that, but we're going to run out of time. But let's just say this, that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The things that you treasure is what is the thermometer in your life. And the way you spend money sometimes is a reflection on your spiritual life. Right? So here's the thing, right? The clock and the dollar, that kind of tells the story of our lives, don't they? I remember I had a pastor years ago that said, you know, if I want to know how someone's doing financially, and he said, in my own life, if I wonder how I'm doing financially, he said, I look at my attitude towards giving. Look at my attitude towards helping out with missions, to paying my tithe, to helping out in the needs of those around me, all those types of things. And at first I went, I just don't agree with that. You know why I didn't agree with that? Because I didn't want to admit that he's right. Right? Anyone else, do you do that? You just don't want to admit that he's right? So here's my question, right? how should this make a difference in our lives this week? We ask that question, what do we do about it when we do our three questions? What do we do about this? When we talk about the way we spend our time, the way we spend our money, the way we invest ourselves in the lives of others we see, the way we invest ourselves in missions, the way we invest ourselves in work, what do we do about it? There's three things I want to talk about real quick, and then we're going to be done. The first one is just simply this. Take a good hard look at your time and your money usage. Look at it. I think most of us have a vague idea about how we spend our time and our money, but I want you to maybe if you just need to sit down and you need to track just the next week. Maybe you just need to track the next 2 or 3 days. Say, I spent half an hour doing this. I spent $45 doing this. I bought this. I did this. Intentionally track those things. Some of us are pretty amazed at how we spend that time and money sometimes. Don't just have a vague idea. Intentionally see the real picture. See the way you do it. And then do this. Set some goals. You know, set some goals. Actually go, all right, here's how I want to spend more time reading my Bible, or I want to spend more time investing in others, or I want to spend less time doing this, or I want to do this with my money. Actually set some goals. Let me encourage you, start small and build from there. Start with small goals, then set bigger goals, and then bigger goals. Start small. But remember this, your goal is to be like Jesus. Your goal is not to be like the millionaire that you wish you were. That millionaire that you look at, right? And your goal is not this either. Your goal is not to just shut yourself off from the world and go, well, my time can just be spent studying God's word, and that's all you ever do. I'm not trying to say that's a bad thing. But I am saying that God has sent you out into the world to touch lives and to reach people. And sometimes we need to be intentional about scheduling that time. Sometimes we need to be scheduled about intentionally scheduling downtime. That's a mouthful, y'all. Intentionally scheduling some downtime. It's no wonder that God created a Sabbath for us. He knows we wear out. He knows that we need that time to refresh. He knows we need that time to focus on Him because we get distracted. So set some goals. But remember, your goal is to be more like Jesus, not like anything else. And then simply this, exercise some faith. You know what that means? Do something that makes you a little uncomfortable. Right? Exercise your faith. Do something that makes you a little uncomfortable. You know, one of the things that I love about this running class that we're doing tonight, there's a reason that you see running and endurance sports and things like that in the Bible, that there's that correlation between that and faith. There's a reason that that's there. You know what I love about how muscles are built? Truly, do you know how muscles are built? Literally, when you exercise, you tear those muscles. There are little micro tears you make in those muscles. Not big tears, but there's micro tears. And God, He provides protein for us to heal all those things. And as those heal, as those micro tears heal, it gets stronger. That is how muscles are made. And all through the New Testament, you see this correlation between running, between endurance and faith. Your faith is designed to have these little micro tears, and it comes back stronger. That's how God builds you. So I want you to think of at least one thing that makes you uncomfortable in spending time, one thing that makes you uncomfortable in spending money, and go out and do it this week. Y'all, your faith grows outside of your comfort zone. It is so hard to grow your faith in your comfort zone. So step out. Don't do a big swing. Maybe God leads you to do a big swing. That's fine. But I'm saying at least find one way that makes you uncomfortable for your time, one way that makes you a little bit uncomfortable in your finances, and do it. Write that check and you go, oh man, I could use that money to go buy ding-dongs, you know? But write the check anyway and do it, right? Are you with me on all that? It's all about priorities, y'all. It's all about recognizing that everything that we have is a gift from God. And it's the recognition that God can use all of it for His glory. There's a whole lot more than we could have talked about than time and money, but those are the two that I think most of us struggle with. And there's a reason that they're talked about so often in Scripture. So let's pray as our praise team's coming back to lead us in a closing song. So let's pray. Father, thank You for how You use our lives. Thank You for how You use our time, our money for the kingdom. Thank You that You use the people that are right here in this room for Your kingdom every single day. I know it because I see it. I get to witness it, and it's such an honor to be able to do that. So use us this week. Help us to be faithful in giving. Help us to be faithful in spending our time. Help us to recognize that time and money are two of the most important things. Oh, help us to be wise in how we spend it, and help us to be God-honoring in the ways we do it. For it's your name we pray. Amen.